Hello and welcome to episode 200 of the Veg Grower podcast. My name's Richard and I like to grow food in my allotment. I'm hyper excited today. It's Christmas Eve on 2018. Tomorrow is Christmas Day. And it's always one of those days that is just really exciting. Better than that, also, it's 200 episodes, so I'm kind of having a bit of a celebration. And our good friend, Mr. Lee Connolly, is on his way down, and I'll chat to him in a bit. We're going to have a walk around my garden and see what we can find out. But that's to come up a bit later on. Before that, of course, we have the what I've done over the last week in my garden and allotments. And we have what the Garden Days Canada suggests to do for this next week. So let's crack on with all that. Well, today is the 22nd of December, Saturday. And believe it or not, despite having a week off, it's been the first chance I've got out in the garden to do any work. This week has been spent mostly, well, recuperating, catching up on sleep, that sort of thing. So it's also been quite wet and windy, so I really haven't done any gardening. But today, I did. And I've been at home today, or at least the afternoon anyway, and I've built a new bed. Now, this is something I've been planning on doing for a while, and it was right at the very top of my vegetable patch where it meets the patio area. And I've put in a new bed, 2 metres long by 60 centimetres wide, made out of decking board, just there. And in towards the patio side, I've put in 2 upright posts. And this is going to be where I plant my couple of fruit bushes. I've got a blackberry bush and a tabry bush in pots. They've been growing in that sort of place anyway, but I just wanted those in the ground now, so they take less work. And the posts are there because I wanted to pot a trellis up against that to kind of stop the chickens from getting out and create a bit of a divide, as well as making the patio area a bit more private, a bit more I can't describe what I mean, really, so we won't worry about that. But anyway, yeah, that bed has been built. To the side that accompanies the fence, I've put in a couple of extra beams, into which I've put one of my water butts. So it's kind of double purpose. That area doesn't get any sunlight anyway, so it's just kind of there with the water butt just raised off the ground. And now that's built, I've just got to get hold of some trellis and some compost to fill it up with, but it is built. After that, I then emptied one of my compost bins. I've been using this compost up for a while, but I wanted to move the actual bin anyway, because it's right by my chickens, and it's a bit of a tight squeeze to get in and out of there, so I wanted to move the bin. It's one of the larger bins that I have. I might put one of my smaller bins there once I've tidied that area up. It's also next to the wormery, which gets used quite a bit anyway. So yeah, and what I had left in there, I've just mulched the rhubarb bed with. Now, the rhubarb's quite interesting, actually, because rhubarb has started to grow, believe it or not. I'm quite shocked at that. It's sprouting. So December and it's sprouting is quite unusual, but I got a feeling that's just a premature bit of growth. But the good mulch of compost will give it a bit of a feed to get through these winter months, as well as keep it a little warmer. Now, the other good thing is now we've passed the winter solstice, the shortest day, so light will start returning, which I think will start energising myself a bit more anyway. Well, today is Sunday, the 23rd December 2018, and at the moment I've just popped down the allotment, but I did do a bit of work at home earlier today. I tidied up the area behind the compost bin that I moved. That wasn't too bad, it was just a few leaves and an old hose pipe that just needed a little bit of tidying away. So I've done that this morning. That's really all I've done at home. I've now came down the allotment and I'm just here really to harvest a few bits and pieces for tea and just to double check I've got everything for Christmas dinner or everything that I'm going to need. I've not got enough carrots or definitely not parsnips, but I'll come down on Christmas Day and harvest all the bits that I do have. So we've got cabbage, cauliflower, kale, sprouts, artichokes, turnips and so on. So got plenty for Christmas dinner, but yeah, I'm just now looking around and thinking to myself, once Christmas is out the way, I am going to throw myself into this whole plot and get it up to a really good scratch again. So that's what I've done today. Tomorrow is Monday and Christmas Eve and I'm not working, so I should be able to do a bit more tomorrow. Well, it's Christmas Eve and I'm back in the studio for this little bit of the diary. I popped down the allotment earlier and I shared a photo of Instagram on something that I've noticed, and that is rhubarb is growing. I've never seen that this early before. So that was a little bit of interest that I thought I'd share with everyone. Now, I popped just down there just for a few minutes just to run the hoe along some beds and just do a little bit of work. I had a bit of time on my hands and kind of wanted to get out the house for a bit. So yeah, that's all I have done today, really. Oh well, I say that's all I've been done. It's been a mad cooking session ready for tomorrow. Now, last night my weekly harvest report came out, and in that there was quite a bit of food actually that I've harvested this last week. We had Jerusalem artichokes, we had more Cape gooseberries, and I think potatoes. Fair amount of food. Really pleased with what's coming on. Naturally, Mr. Steve Richards from a Steve Seaside Life, he came along and added his own thing. awesome stuff. Actually, I've lost Steve's email. So if you hear this, Steve, email me. I want to arrange to get you on the show pretty soon if possible. Anyway, yeah, that's going to wrap up this diary section. Let's take a look at what the Garden Days calendar suggests to do for this next week. This week, Garden Days calendar suggestion is clear all dead foliage from the hardy herbaceous plants if you have not already done so earlier. Fork over the surface of the soil between the plants, taking care not to damage newly emerging bulbs. Remove annual weeds as you find them, so that soil is clean and easy to work with in the spring. I've mentioned about being too tidy before, and I do no dig, but I won't go into that this time. Instead, I'm going to give everyone my own bit of advice for this week, and I'm going to call it homework I'm setting for all you listeners. Have a good Christmas. Enjoy yourselves. Spend time with your family. And enjoy it. Take them down the allotment or the vegetable patch, of course, if that's what you want to do. Just spend some time with your family. It's one day of the year. That's my homework for this week. Right. Before Lee turns up, I've got a couple of things to mention. Firstly, I've had an email from Linda who has shared with me a blog post called The 6 Real Benefits of Creating Your Own Garden Gym. And she's asked me to add a link to it from prestigelawns.co.uk. You can find the link in the blog post, of course. Interesting blog post. With January just around the corner, when people start to head down the gym, of course, and get into shape for the new year, this might be another option. So please do check out this blog post. My next thing I want to mention, last week I think it was, Annabelle published her monthly newsletter. That's Annabelle from Life at Number 27, who I had on the podcast a few weeks ago. She gave me a really lovely mention in there, of course. But more importantly, her seeds from Chilton Seeds are now released. I'll be adding links to those in the blog post, of course, so please check them out. fully support the work that she's doing, of course, as I've said many times before. And don't forget, five lucky listeners have the chance to win five of the seeds as well from my own pocket. So let me know if you've signed up to Life at Number 27 blog. It's well worth it. And I'll, if you're lucky, one of the five lucky people, you'll be sent those seeds. Right, well, I think Lee's here, so I'm going to go down and meet him, but I'm actually going to sign off in that bit.
I can just hold it.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter.
Oh, doesn't matter.
Cool.
Doesn't matter.
Cool.
So, yeah, what are we going to talk about, I guess?
It's pretty big, this, isn't it? So, it's 200 episodes.
200 episodes.
So don't make it rubbish, will you?
No, no. Right. Right, well, Lee's with me now, and we're going to chat about 200 episodes of the Veg Grower podcast.
You sound a bit excited about it, couldn't you?
I'm absolutely thrilled to bits, mate. I didn't think I would even make it this far, to be honest.
No, well, nor did I. No, I'm
joking. Yeah, cheers, mate. Cheers, mate.
It's good to actually come and see your garden, though. Like,
yeah.
And see these chickens that I always hear about.
Oh, yeah. You can probably hear them more than see them at the moment. Yeah, no, they're cool. They're cool. Well, thank you for coming anyway.
Oh, it's good to be here, man. It's always good to come and see you.
Yeah.
But, so 200 episodes. We've talked about how you got into, like, your... How did you get into this podcasting thing?
I just decided one day to make my own podcast because I couldn't find any specifically on vegetable growing. So I figured, let's go make my own.
That's good.
I picked up a microphone one day, recorded it. In the early days, I didn't really take it seriously. It wasn't until my granddad died that I suddenly realised this media needs all this information.
Yeah.
Needs recording. That's when I started taking it seriously. I can't remember what episode that was on, but it was quite a while ago. And now, 200 episodes.
Podcasts suffer from 200 episodes big because podcasts generally last maybe 10 to 20 episodes and then that's it. They're gone.
Yeah.
It's also, like, being a podcaster myself, it's good to... Not good. It's difficult, should I say, to keep that up every single week. Do you know what I mean?
It's a lot of work. You know, you're going on to fortnightly soon as well. Well, no, it's not fortnightly, 2 a week.
I know,
soon.
I might change that, mate. I need to speak about that later. I'm not sure.
Oh, okay.
But I'd like to do that. Yeah. It's all about content, isn't it? It's not that content's always hard to get...
Yeah.
But you've got to keep that enthusiasm up each week to be on there.
Yeah, especially if you've got a cold or flu or something, it certainly drains it out of you, doesn't it?
Yeah, people don't care, mate, about that, do they? No. It's like, I want my bit of audio. Yeah.
And at this time of year, doing gardening, I mean, there's not much going on in the garden as well. So from my perspective, it's a challenge to try and find something to talk about.
But you do, which is good. Which also shows that the garden tree don't just close down for Christmas.
And that's an important thing that I think we need to get out there, is that you can garden all year round. Yes, it's miserable weather outside, but there's still things that can be done.
Mm-hmm.
I think recently, I saw you at Idle Home Show, and you talked about getting the kids out in the garden in December.
Yes, mate.
That was awesome.
Yeah, that is true. One of the things I didn't talk about was, you know, these 250 bulbs that I've been, bulbs I've been planting. So I thought about a really good video or a bit of audio to get my daughter out. Planting bulbs.
Yep.
Apparently 3-year-olds don't find that interesting. I mean, they like it for like about 3 minutes and then they like, done it now, what's next?
Yes.
Well, you have a 200 go, girl.
Yeah. Is that the monotonous, the constant, it's the same thing here,
Yeah.
I had the same with my niece when we were planting peas. She got bored after a while, so.
It's good for me to know that. I mean, it's a good test for me because I go around telling people what they should do with their kids outside. Not necessarily. I think I talked about this a while back, actually, when I was on Blue Peter, and this was before I even had a daughter. I was used to be going around telling kids what they can do in the garden, what parents can do in the garden. Didn't even have my own daughter to do it. And as soon as Dodd have come along, it's like, oh, actually, that don't work. Like, it's good to get out there and see what they enjoy doing.
Yeah.
And it is that constant, if you're just doing... If for us, it's all right. Like, 250 bulbs, we know, come next spring, awesome stuff's going to happen. For them, they're like, we're just putting this little small onion, which we thought was like a little, little onion we were just chucking in the ground, and that's it. Like, at least with a few seeds, they can sort of, they know what they're going to get. But when it's something new...
Yes, yeah, they got to see it grow to understand it. And that requires patience, and kids aren't very patient, as we all know. I mean, again, my nieces, they come round here, they'll stomp on, as soon as they walk through that door, we want to grow something, we want the chickens out, we want to do this and that, and it's like, you just walked in the door.
Yeah.
And then you bring them out here, they'll, say, plant some peas, they're bored within a few minutes, and want to do something else.
But also, at this time of year as well, it's winter, I'm not being horrible, but I don't really want to be outside for too long either. I want to get, if I'm doing gardening tasks, in this weather, although today we're quite lucky, it's not too cold actually.
It's warm, isn't it?
For Christmas, it's not too bad, but I don't want to be outside too long, and so I don't expect them to be outside too long either. Like when I was doing that stuff at Ideal Home Show, they're all tasks where you can go outside for like 10 minutes, maybe collect a few leaves and twigs and stuff, and then bring it inside and make something for the garden, rather than being outside all the time.
Well, we've been discussing this thing that you talked about on the Ideal Home Show, but listeners may not have heard that. What was that? Let's go through a few of the tasks that you had there.
Well, one of my favourites, right, is ice decorations, especially for like this time of year. When by the time this goes out, it might be a little bit late, but we're still in the Christmassy time, aren't we?
Christmas Day.
So it might be a Christmas Day task.
Yeah.
Is you get a butter lid.
Yeah.
And you go outside with the kids, pick some nice leaves, colourful flowers if you've got any left.
Holly.
Holly,
a good one.
You've got some holly going on.
Yeah.
No berries, though.
No. The ivy's got berries.
There we go, sorted. And then you bring them inside, and you place them out onto the butter lid, pour a little bit of water in it, and then chuck it in the freezer. Oh, make sure you put the string. Put a bit of string.
Yeah.
All right. Leave it a day or so.
Yeah.
Bring it out, and then hang it up. Do you know what, actually? It's probably pretty useless at this time of year because we've got quite a lot of sun going on. But come January, Feb...
Yeah.
Let's call it a New Year decoration.
Yeah, yeah.
When it's actually snowing outside, which... We've got no snow.
We don't get snow here. We very rarely get snow.
Do you know what my missus asked me the other day? She said, why do we still have Christmas cards with snow on them?
My wife said the same thing this morning.
It's good. It's a good question, really, isn't it?
Yeah.
Although, I don't think people would be that happy if they got Christmas card with just...
Sun.
Sun or just rain.
Yeah.
It's not so festive then, is it?
No. There's something about snow yet.
Also, there's a question, what do people in other countries, like hot countries, have on their Christmas cards? Do they have snow?
No idea. Australia probably has barbecues, which is a good thing in my eyes.
When I was in Australia, I can't remember getting a Christmas card, so I wish I'd looked now. That was 10 years ago, though, so I wasn't thinking about it at the time.
Saying that, my wife brought a bauble from St Lucia when we were there, so we'll have to see. That's probably on a Christmas tree. We'll have a look at that later.
Yeah, we'll confirm that later.
We'll see what's on there. But no, back to these decorations, because my wife, again, she saw that and she said, I want to do that.
Yeah.
And so it's not just for kids, that.
No, I think, that's the thing, isn't it? I mean, parents enjoy it more than anything, don't they? Like, when I do my shows, I can see the parents thinking, oh, yeah, I'd enjoy doing that.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of things, like even, this is totally going off gardening a little bit, but, so everyone's asking what Olive wants for Christmas? Mm-hmm. Like, Lego.
Good
choice. Like, she'll love Lego, but also... I'd love some Lego. So the parents love their task as well. They love, not tasks, activities. They love the activities more.
Yeah.
Well, and the kids, they've got to enjoy it as well. Do you know what I mean? Like, everyone's, it's a family activity. I always say, it's a bit of a cliche saying, let's get kids into gardening. It's more about, let's get families outside creating memories. Because I'm a bit of a person where I don't mind kids having the phone or the computer with a limit.
Yeah.
Just not always on it. But you create more memories being outside together than you do sitting watching TV.
Yeah.
Like I remember being outside, even though it was for 3 minutes, planting bulbs with Olive, than us watching Mr. Tumble.
Yeah. But you are quite involved with Olive. I mean, I see you on Instagram. As a non-parent, it's actually really heartwarming to see how involved you are with
You get
daughters.
More views, mate, if you get kids on there.
Oh, is that what it's all about?
That's not it, really. Yeah, no, I can't be going around telling people to get outside with their families if I'm not doing it myself, you know what I mean?
Well, I think it's more than that. I mean, you obviously adore your daughter, but I've completely gone off gardening now, haven't we?
No, you won't.
I've got friends, and at the weekend, they'll sit in front of a TV, and the kids are doing their own thing.
Mm-hmm.
I can't see you doing that at all. You'll be playing with Olive a lot more than you're sat in front of a TV.
Yeah, definitely. Do you know what? Like I say, I don't mind kids having screen time. We went on holiday, right? It's fine for them to have an iPad. Great. Olive, she won't listen to this, hopefully. But she's getting one for Christmas, which she will be limited on time she's allowed to go on it. We went on holiday. there's parents having dinner with a child in a high chair with some sort of clamp onto the table with an iPad on it with headphones while the parents eat dinner on either side. I was like, what is going on here? Like, yeah. That's what I don't agree with, that side of things.
No.
There ain't no memories being made there.
Yeah. Yeah. My wife and I see that all the time, and listeners may not be aware, my wife and I are unable to have children, so for us, we see that sort of thing. We just kind of think, you're wasting this precious gift away.
Mm.
So, it's gone completely off
garden. Gone well off garden, yeah, I know what you're saying. Let's reel it back. Are you going to show me some of your garden then?
Let's go have a walk around. Now,
are we allowed on that?
Well, you can do
that.
That's it. That's right.
It's all started.
That's it.
You wish you never invited me over.
Well, this is a herb area. This is where I keep all my herbs.
Right.
I quite often talk about. Outside the kitchen window. So
perfect.
Come and get them. That's what I need. Off we go. And sometimes I've got parsley and that one's rocket, although that's gone beyond it now.
This is a big thing, having it outside the back door. Because if it was down the end of the garden,
Wouldn't
use it as much.
No.
So that is important.
Especially herbs. I mean, literally, I'll be cooking in the kitchen and just say, I need something for this.
Mm-hmm.
Run out here. I don't even have to pop my shoes on. It's just outside the door.
If I'm honest, this is something I need to do outside mine, because at the moment, all my herbs are down the end of the garden. So
move them.
I've got to move them.
You've got to move them.
I need
them.
To bring them up.
Move them. This is the potager area, which is basically, there's raspberries and other stuff that grows here. The idea here is this is meant to be grown food but look good, and it doesn't at the moment, admittedly.
Yeah,
but that's because we need to have a big hack and sort it out. That's my goal for January, is to tidy this area up a lot.
Mm-hmm.
What I do have, unfortunately, something's knocked it over, is a bird feeder station.
Oh yeah,
because we get a lot of birds.
You got a little nest in, well, an old nest is
it one there, and we got, you'll find lots as we go around the garden. But yeah, that's that area. That's an elder tree, so we get elderberries and elderflowers from there.
Nice.
Raspberries,
what's this?
Holly.
What's this?
That's a spare quail cage.
Oh.
Or chicken cage. I put it there because that was somewhere.
Oh, I thought it was like a hedgehog cage prism.
No, but I'll tell you where the hedgehogs are. I know you like the hedgehogs. If we go into the greenhouse.
It's like going behind the scenes here, trying to see all this.
Yeah. Down in that corner, you can see there's a water button with pallets.
Yeah.
Well, originally I had one pallet there at the water button. I kept it in there so the water was at the same temperature as the plants.
Nice idea.
A hedgehog started living underneath that pallet.
Oh.
So I've had to build it up so I can leave that pallet for their nest.
Ah.
Which is also
why. How'd they get in?
Well, I've put that tube just in there for them.
You've given them like a runway to get in.
Yep.
That's so good.
They do it.
And they go in that way.
They go in and out.
But they don't come out through that tube there.
No, that was one. They've moved out themselves. It was at the back. But they've actually, the way it's sunk down, they can actually get out from the back themselves.
That's brilliant.
So it was quite a surprise, because I've never had slugs or snails in here anyway.
Wow.
Hedgehogs. Brilliant, and I know you're a big thing on hedgehogs.
I'm a big hedgehog fan.
Yeah. Well, the great thing as well, and you may have seen the video, I had three baby hedgehogs earlier this year.
Yeah, I think I did see that video, yes.
Yeah, and they were just down in that little corner there.
Wow.
Their parents had obviously kicked them out and said, you know, go fend them for yourselves.
Yeah.
They were three huddled there. The nest is gone. I think they might be underneath that shed now.
That's cool.
Yeah, we won't go in the sheds because they're a complete and utter mess.
Oh, yeah, I won't. Yeah,
you can
hide that
from. Just down behind this tree as well.
Yeah.
Black plastic box.
Yes.
It was meant to be a hedgehog house, like what you talk about on one of your activities of just cutting a hole. So tell your listener how you do this.
Yeah, this is my favourite make, mainly because it's really cheap.
Yeah.
So basically, you get one of them plastic boxes, you whack a 15 centimetre hole in the front, a couple of air vents in the side, then cover it over with loads of logs and twigs and stuff. Sorted. Hedgehog house.
Yeah. That's what I did when I first moved in here, because we knew we had hedgehogs.
So what's in there? You're not going to tell me there's like a family of rats or nothing in there, are you?
No. I don't know if they live in there or what, but
could be like a holiday home.
Could be a holiday home. I don't know. Just they've made residence in there more. So
they might have attracted. That might have been their first thing they attracted to, and then they've sort of branched out.
Well, the original owners we bought this house from rescued a hedgehog and moved it in here.
Oh, okay.
So that's probably what it is more. Well, you can hear the chickens now. They know we're around. And this bit can get a bit muddy because they churn up all the dirt and everything and put it along this path warn you. So.
That's all right, this is nice, isn't it? How is this?
Well, this is the ivy into the vegetable patch area.
Oh, he's going for it.
Yeah, yeah. It's a likely ivy, but I hate the ivy at the same time because it grows so mad. I can't cut it back now because there's so many birds living in there.
Well,
we've got 3 robins at least, 4 thrushes, all in that.
I mean, at least it's easy to grow, mate. I mean, out of all the things that I can grow well, ivy's one of them.
Yeah.
So you're all good.
well, I think I'll let the chickens out because they want to come out. That's why they're making
they
such a noise.
Because I'm not very... They're not going to attack me or nothing, are they?
No. They'll probably run us straight over there.
Okay.
You okay? I can leave them in if you want.
No, let's go nuts. Let's see what happens.
There you go. The white one's Poppadom. That one's the original, one of the original, white tail called Bear, and the other one, black tail, is Boona.
theme going here somewhere.
Yeah. Well, the original Bear, we had another white one, was called Grills.
Ah, got
you. Wife names them. Wife names the chickens. That's her role.
You look after them, yeah?
Yeah, yeah. I do all the work. Now, this would be my vegetable patch area at home. Apart from this Cape gooseberry, there's nothing growing at the moment. Plan is over this week, I'm building a bit down the end for water butts and stuff.
Okay.
Because it's shaded. They won't get sun there, so might as well use it for something.
So when you grow stuff, you let the chickens run amongst it?
Yeah, what I do, I'd get a pot, 15-inch pot, cut the bottom off, sink that into ground, fill it with compost, and then plant into that.
Oh, okay.
If it's something like lettuce, the chickens will pick it, but that grows in the veg truck I have over there. Most of their damage comes from when they scratch the ground.
Yeah, yeah.
And I just found the pots seem to stop it from happening.
That's clever.
Yeah. And this is the Cape gooseberries I've mentioned a hell of a lot. As you can see, they're not showing any sign of dying back at all.
No, they're going for it, mate. They don't care.
Yeah.
Winter, what winter?
Winter, exactly. Pot of tiger nuts. No, I've got to harvest and see what they are like.
Right.
And then we've got pineberries. Oh, you don't like, you're allergic to pineapple, aren't you?
Yep, I am, mate, yep.
Well, these are strawberries that taste of pineapple.
Oh, so I might be right, because I like the taste of pineapple, so
yeah.
I could be okay with that.
Yeah, yeah. If I get some runners, I'll send you some.
Oh, cheers, mate.
If it works.
Could go either way, couldn't it?
Yeah. And then down here, we've got the quail.
Oh, wow, look.
There's a fourth one somewhere. There he is. She is.
Do they stay in there or do
they? They stay in there. It's illegal to let them out in the wild.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, yeah, because they're not native apparently. So.
Oh, never knew that.
Yeah, but they're another thing I talk about quite often.
They're cute. I like them.
Yeah, they're cool. I think you could keep those. I mean, you get eggs from them. They're not laying at the moment. Get little eggs from them. Perfect size for Scotch eggs.
Ah. Good.
Yeah. Plus Oliver like them, weren't they?
Yeah, well, that's the thing. Like, I think, like, I really want to get, like, I go to Gardener's World. When you come to Gardener's World, they did that, they've got chickens and stuff there, haven't they?
Yeah.
And I've been going there for, like, the last 6 years, and every year he goes, look, I'll send you a couple if you want. I'm like, yeah, definitely. And I get home and Sam's like, no, you're not having them.
No.
So 1 year, she might turn around and say, oh, go on then. Because I think Oliver would love them and I'd love them.
Yeah. What, chickens or quail are you talking about here?
Either.
Yeah, I mean, the quails are easier to look after in many ways. I mean, they're both really easy.
Yeah.
Need very little care. Just chickens are noisier, but they're not really that noisy. I mean, no. You've heard them.
Well, I'll tell you what one of the things is everyone says about chickens, though, is they... The chicken? Yeah. Yeah, chickens, don't they attract rats usually? But have you found that or not?
We did earlier this year. We had a rat, but I got rid of that.
Right.
We won't go into that.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
That's the first time. The thing is, it's not so much the chickens that attract the rats. It's the food and the water that attracts the rats.
Got ya.
So every night I bring in the food and water. They're not left alone. They're locked up every night, and I keep them clean.
Right,
and
okay. Do you get, like, foxes?
We do get foxes here, but they've never been in the garden.
He's kicking off over there, though.
Yeah, he's Poppadom. He's... Oh, no, it's Bear. But yeah, well, I've lost my train of thought there.
You don't have issues with foxes?
No, we do get foxes around here, but they don't come in. Again, I lock them up at night. If I let these out running around here all day, then we would have problems. Cats as well can be a problem.
Oh.
I've seen the cats go for it.
Really?
Go for them. I have to run out. That's why I don't let them out the run.
Right, got you.
Which I feel bad about, but...
Bless him.
Yeah. Yeah. So I want to show you is something you've been talking about on your podcast.
What is it? What have you been talking about?
This.
Oh, look at this. This is exactly what I'm going to get.
Yeah.
Right, show me. Come on, show me how this works.
Right. I've had this 4 years now, coming up 3.5, 4 years.
Right.
You fill the food in or the garden waste on top. As you can see, a lot of pumpkin because we killed off our pumpkin yesterday.
Right.
Can't
believe it's sprouting, by the way, inside.
I know, that was mad. That was mad. That when that fills up, I empty the bottom one out.
Well, what's in the bottom, though, now?
It'd be, because I poured it on the rhubarb yesterday. It's like a compost. I'll show you it just down here. It's quite a... It's this sort of stuff.
It's not what I thought it was going to look like. I'm not sure what I thought it was going to look like.
It's quite a black, quite a soggy stuff. Yeah. I mean, in this time of year, it's probably going to be soggy.
Yeah.
It also has this liquid in it. It's a brilliant plant fertiliser.
Got ya.
But, yeah, that's what it makes.
It comes with all this shell and stuff.
Well, you can compost shells, but I find the shells don't really compost that well.
Right.
But at the end of the day, that'll break down in the soil and helps with the slugs and snails anyway.
Yeah.
Don't have to throw eggs in there if you don't want to. But yeah, really easy to look after. You've got the tap on the bottom for getting the feed out, but that does block up quite often, I find. So right. I've got a little bit of wire that I stick in there to clean it out.
Give it a little prod.
Give it a little prod, and then it just shoots out. But yeah. Really,
I'm definitely
good.
Getting one. They're not even. They don't even look.
They look decent.
They don't look horrible, do they? They're not really intrusive.
No. Yeah.
Intrusive is the word I was looking for.
All our kitchen waste goes in there. It doesn't go in the compost. All the compost is chicken waste and lawn clipping sort of things. All the kitchen waste goes in there, and it does the job.
That's brilliant. That is actually brilliant. I'm getting one.
Get out.
Do you know around our area? I don't know if you've got it around here. Do you have like a? Do they collect your kitchen waste stuff in like a little box?
No.
See, they got it around our way. Yeah. I'm like, nah, I don't want to collect it in that. It's horrible. That's why I want to get a wormery because I think it's sorted. So what? Hang on, where do the worms go?
Worms stay in the soil.
Do you have to get special ones though, didn't you?
Yeah, when I bought it, it came with the worms, so I had to set that up, put some compost in the bottom, and then put the worms in.
Got you.
And then I started adding all the food scraps and stuff to it.
Nice.
I think I've even put cardboard in there in the beginning as well, if I remember right.
Yeah.
And then just built it up.
Right.
It's highly worth it. I do recommend it.
I'm getting one, mate. I'm sold on it, honestly.
Yeah.
Wicked.
Right. I'll show you around this, the messy area at the moment. Go away, Bear. Close it. You know what I was saying about... replacing the fence panels.
Yeah.
That's more of it there.
Crikey, you got some wood, boy.
Yeah, pallets as well. And more there.
Oh, wow, you need a big bonfire, mate.
Yeah, yeah.
This is a cool area.
Yeah, that's one of the reasons we bought this house.
We just came here.
It's a bit of a mess at the moment being winter, but normally, you know, this will be our patio area. We'll sit out here having meals. We've got bamboo to add a bit of a Caribbean feel.
Sure. Okay, yeah, sure.
And then,
this is amazing. Look at this.
That was here when we bought this house again. And again, I was like, I'm having that barbecue. I love barbecue anyway.
Yeah.
But this is probably good, properly well built. We'll stand here and pack it in.
How did you get up there?
I jumped up.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Crazy clever.
I think she's stuck actually.
Stuck on that bamboo, is she?
No, I think she's stuck on the post. Let me just go sort her out. Oh no, she's off. Literally, as soon as I moved, she starts on it.
Circus chicken, that one.
Yeah, she is the one that jumps more. That's Papa Dom, the white one. Anyway.
Anyway, yes.
Yeah, barbecue area, which I'm trying to use more and more in my videos.
Yes.
So I'm going to be just here where I've got these fence posts that I've roughly made up, putting trellis up there and making that a bit more... aesthetically pleasing, shall we say.
What an area. I mean, this is what garden's all about, isn't it, having an area like this?
I think, I mean, it's got to be reflect your personality, I think. I mean, this may not appeal to everyone. I mean, the listener, I've obviously got my big barbecue. I've got my my little barbecue from the allotment here at the moment as well, and my chimnea. We're on a patio area, but I've also got a summer house, which is like a shelter type thing.
Yeah, I'll just be honest with you, I think it should be turned into some sort of bar, to be honest with you, mate.
Like, yeah.
It should be, which
well, we don't
the
drink.
Sugget, oh, right, yeah, that's a bit of an issue. Yeah, non-alcoholic bar, mate.
Yeah.
Dry bar.
I did suggest a pirate ship as well, but that hasn't gone down well.
Mate, are you into pirates?
Well, I mean, who isn't?
I love pirates. Do you know what? I wanted to get married on a pirate ship once.
Yeah?
In Southend, they used to have this massive pirate ship, which you spell go on, and they knocked it down in the end, but that's where I wanted to get married. It didn't happen, obviously, but, you know, you got to have a dream.
Yeah. I mean, did Sam overrule you on that?
Yeah, 100%, of course, definitely.
Yeah. Typical.
Yeah, sure.
Just like my man has overruled me on making this into a pirate ship, because I'm like, you know, we could make the pirate, the captain's quarters into a shed.
Yeah.
Old wood and decking, like we're on board.
And
little...
just there, right, on the fence,
yep.
A big old pirate wheel.
Like, yeah.
So, like, steering the ship.
Yeah.
Sorted.
Yeah. But unfortunately, I've been overruled on that.
Anyway, yeah, we all got dreams. Like, so. No, cool, man.
Yeah, and obviously all around here, I've got blueberry bushes and apple trees and olive trees and things like that, just to add a bit more food.
Yeah, of course. It's got to get everything produced, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, I love it. It's really good. You should start doing listener tours, mate.
Yes, mate. That could happen. I mean, I go more and more to the allotments, other people, listeners' allotments more, which I'm really enjoying.
Yeah, that's really good. You're going to do more of that in 2000. Let's talk about 2019 now.
Yes.
What's your plans? Where are you going to be?
Well, I want to do more of these visiting allotments because I'm really enjoying those.
Yeah.
Got a good lot of listeners, and I actually feel people get something out of it. I get something out of it. Mm-hmm. And also the atmosphere just seems right, the audio. So that's something I like to do more of. I'm doing a presenter's course with my friend Richard. He's going to be coaching me on a bit more being a presenter so I can get my words out better.
That's cool. I think you get your words out fine, but...
I know, but I think there's something... It's the confidence side, I guess. I mean, you're obviously quite natural. Well, you seem to be quite natural talking on stage.
Yeah, but I used to be awful. Like, I used to be really bad. I think I've told you before I started all this, never even used to be able to answer my telephone at home. Yeah. I used to be well scared.
Yeah.
So it's something you learn, isn't it? But do you know what? Sometimes, though, the only thing I'd say about doing that presenter course is you might lose some of...
The naturalness.
Some of the sugget.
Yeah. No, I'm going to be keeping that. What I want to be able to do is find my words better.
Right, yeah. But see, I'm terrible at that.
Yeah.
I'll sit there for an hour trying to think of a word in my head because I'd... My brain's so slow.
Yeah. I do that from time to time. And that's quite often when I get those long pauses, which I've started editing out a bit more.
Yeah.
But that's often when I'm trying to find the words or trying to put words into order in my head.
But we can't be the only ones doing that.
No, I think that's a common thing. More and more we talk about this. I mean, even, as I said, Richard, when I spoke to him about it, he said, well, I don't think I talk that well either.
Hmm.
And I'm like, but you seem so natural on it. So, interesting.
It's all people's taste as well, isn't it? Like, you can be too polished, I think, sometimes.
Yeah.
Like, editing too much. Like, I always say editing too much can be...
Yeah.
And I always feel... I don't realise you edit them bits out, but I always feel like listening to your podcast is like... Well, it is listening to a mate now, isn't it?
Yeah.
But it's like
listening
to a mate that is just chatting to you.
Yeah, that will be remaining. It will be just... I try and do it, me and the listener, you and I. We just sat down chatting over a cup of coffee sort of thing. And that's what I want to keep it like.
Yeah.
Although I'm doing more and more of these, setting the scenes and building a picture where I'm going to the allotment or going to last week where I just spoke about tools.
Yeah.
That sort of thing is still going to happen. It's going to be more like we're in my garden, more in my allotment.
That is an actual skill, getting, because video is really easy for people to see where you are and get what you're doing. Audio is really easy to consume as a listener, but if you can't set that picture in someone's head of where you are or what you're doing, then it doesn't work. Whereas you can, like these allotment tours things you do, you can sort of get a picture and see you walking along,
yeah,
which I think is really nice. I like that.
Well, that's a great thing with audio and podcast is it gets the listener's imagination.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, right now we'll describe what we're doing. We're stood on my patio. We've got two microphones on the go, and we're just chatting.
Yeah,
there's nothing. But straight away, the people are building that image. They're probably visualising our faces and looking at each other and chatting away.
Yeah.
That's what we want.
I feel like they need to smile just in case they, can't hear my smile.
yeah, exactly.
No, that's true, man. I love it. Yeah. I love podcasting, mate.
Yeah, me too.
And also, the one good thing, I said this the other day, that the one good thing I've got from podcasting is meeting great people.
Yeah.
And yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. Cheers, mate. Thank you. Yeah. And making friends.
Yeah, but you do get to speak to, I feel like I've spoke to, since I did start podcasting, I've spoke to more people at Garden than I ever did before.
Yeah.
Which is good. I think that's what it's about, isn't it?
I totally agree. I mean, again, one of the things when I started podcasting is I wanted to get to know people who were also interested in growing their own food, because I felt at the time none of my friends were interested in it.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly not to the point I was.
That's a good, just jump in on you. But since you've been doing it, do you think your friends have got into it? Because
I've definitely got some friends into it and taken it. I've got my mum into it, believe it or not, as well. Okay. So definitely that. I've also got, we're doing a vape show later on today, people on there who've just gone, I've started growing food because I've heard you.
Yeah.
And that has been a big takeaway for me.
Yeah.
I've even got people who are in a wheelchair.
Right.
And they've sort of said, I've opened up this thing they could do in their garden that they didn't think of, that has given them a sense of meaning, a sense of purpose.
That's nice.
Is absolutely, I mean, it brings me to tears when I hear those sort of stories.
Yeah. Oh, that's good then.
Yeah.
Sorry, mate, I cut into you when you were chatting, but I just thought I wanted to see if because my mates, they, some of them garden, but they're still not really into growing their own food at the moment.
Yeah.
Maybe it's who I'm aiming at, because a lot of them ain't got family, so it's not really there.
I think it comes back to this whole thing when we both spoke about being at school.
Yeah.
Gardening was not cool. It was kind of just a thing old people done.
Yeah.
Whereas now we've got a younger generation getting into gardening, and they're doing it passionately. The amount of blog posts from people of our generation, and all generations for that matter, but people are talking about it. It's becoming much more open. If I spoke about this when I was at school, I was bullied a fair bit at school, but I would have had the piss ripped out of me quite a lot. I've just sworn there, which I don't try not to do. But I would have had the mick taken out of me hell of a lot.
Yeah.
Because I was interested in saying that isn't cool.
Yeah, I got bullied at school, mate, so I don't think it would have made any difference. I think I might have helped. At least I would have felt cool for something.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I was still gardening. I just didn't tell anybody I did it.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, that hang-up still lasts up until, a few years ago since I started podcasting.
Yeah. See, I think maybe podcasting brought us both out.
I think so. Definitely. I mean, the stories I've heard that you tell me from your growing up, it certainly sounds like you've came a long way.
Yeah. I feel like I have. So it does help, doesn't it?
But yeah.
It's good to talk to people.
Definitely. Definitely.
So.
Yeah. What's your plan?
You're saying something. I thought when you said something, I was like, oh, I know I've got something good to say there. I forgot now. What's my plan for 2019?
Yes.
That sort of brings it round to the subject I was going to talk about.
All right.
Is two things. One thing I've already talked about. One thing I've not actually mentioned I'm going to do yet. So, mate.
Yay! I like these exclusives.
So the Malvern show with the kids, the RHS Malvern show I'm doing, which I'm trying to get the kids, so this is one of the things, I did a workshop not long ago on content creating, I'm trying to get the kids to
was a really good podcast as
thanks
well.
Man, I enjoy that. I enjoy piecing that, some of them I like, I enjoy some of the interviews, some of them I don't like, let's be honest, but some of them I enjoy piecing together. Do you know what I mean? Like, I just like listen back to some of them. I don't like some people. But anyway, I really enjoyed piecing that together. And these kids are trying to get them into podcasting.
Uh-huh.
And they really, like, one school's got their own studio.
Really?
In the school. So I'm hoping that they're going to produce some amazing stuff. And also, I'm supporting them for, I'm doing some Online with Lee calls. They'll be able to contact me and ask me any advice about gardening or content creating and stuff. Because I think knowing the story is really important for how a garden comes together. And these kids are creating these show gardens.
Wow.
They should be proud about this. An RHS garden, do you know what I mean? They need to...
High praise, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. So I'm really excited about doing that next year. And then the most recent thing is that I'm doing a kids garden at Ideal Home Show. So I'm doing second show garden I've not ever done. But so
wow.
That's happening. Exclusive, mate.
Cheers. Yeah,
and
unless
I ring you and say, actually, it's not happening anymore. But I'm pretty sure it's pretty certain it's happening.
Yeah.
So I'm quite excited about that. So we're going to go to some schools, get some ideas from them, see what they want to put into it.
Yeah.
We've got some nice ideas that's going to happen. So I'm really excited about that.
That sounds cool.
That's coming in April. I'll get you tickets, mate. Obviously.
Much appreciated. We'll be there, you know.
Of course.
If you're talking, I'll be there with a camera as well.
Oh, yeah. Thanks, mate. Yeah, I went there, camera. So, yeah, that's not a bad start to my year, I think. Like,
yeah,
you know.
That's good.
And the podcast is going to... Yeah, I did say the other day, I might as well do it on here. What do you think? I want to do it 2 days a week.
Right.
What do you think?
Well, you've done a two a week with the Peter Donegan one, and that worked quite well. I mean, I normally don't like when you have a conversation with someone and it's split in half.
Mm. I mean, that one needed it because it was so long.
Yeah. I mean, I just find... I mean, this one's going to be a long one anyway.
How are we on?
35 minutes.
Wow.
But I liked that because you split it up at the right point, mm-hmm. where it's like you were talking about Peter and then you moved on to his... peace gardens.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think if you could do something like that, it'll work.
Well, in my head, what I want to do is I want to split the interview, because I always put an interview out every week.
Yeah.
I want to split the interview into one podcast and then do my chatting bit on a separate podcast.
Yeah, that could work.
Because I've been told I talk a lot, but maybe I'm overthinking it. Maybe the talking's good. I don't know.
No, I mean, I like the talking and I like the interviews. I mean. The interviews, I think we need to work a little bit on the audio. But we're testing this out today. The chatting, I mean, I like the chatting. I like the chatting.
I'm out of leavers.
Yeah, but if you're going to split into two, then yeah, I mean, well, you got your Latin expert.
You've got
the job for the week, the news article. So three things there. That could be one podcast.
That's the thing, isn't it? There's enough to say. I want to split them into 2.5 hours, really.
Yeah.
That's my idea, anyway. I don't know if it's going to happen yet. Who knows?
No. Well, we'll ask listeners to add their own comments on what they think.
Nice. That'd be nice.
Because at the end of the day, it's listeners that really tell us what it works or not.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And also, my other thing I'm doing next year is... I think I've covered the garden industry pretty well. I've still got to get Monty...
Yeah.
I'm going to start a campaign in January to
get Monty on. And the Queen.
And the Queen. No, I've got a list, right? And I just think I'm going to just try and get some people that are not in the industry and just see what they think about gardening.
Yeah.
From outside.
Well, yeah, I mean, I interviewed my friend Richard Fobes on the show, and he's not a gardener, but we just wanted to get his view from around the allotment. And it was fascinating seeing from a non-gardener's eyes... So there's definitely something there.
Yeah.
Because you're doing a lot of food festivals as well, aren't you, in 2019?
I've got a few, yeah. Not as many as I wanted, actually.
So no.
I did a few food festivals this year.
Yeah.
And I put a show together for next year. Not as many as I thought would take it, but I don't know. It's a tough one, isn't it? But I think it's a good mix of food and garden.
I think it works.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, you go speak to a chef, they want fresh food, they want it homegrown.
Yeah, exactly.
So I think there's people there, chefs.
Yeah.
I think you interviewed an allotment chef though recently, haven't you?
I did John Gay with you recently, I did him.
Yeah.
I know him from Jimmy's Farm days.
Yeah.
And he's just started his own little allotment as well, so he's producing veg for his kitchen.
That's right.
Which is what it's all about, isn't it?
Yeah.
So, yeah, you're right. There's definitely something there.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I'm say chefs because I've got one. I've got a contact to get on the show as well. An old school friend who won the MasterChef last year.
Oh, cool.
So I really should get him on.
Definitely, mate.
Yeah.
Definitely clickbait.
Yeah. Exactly.
Oh, cool, man. Well, so 200 episodes.
Yep.
I was going to say, are you going to? How long are you going to go on for? But I suppose just continue.
I'll continue. I mean, I've got no. Every now and then, I think, is it worth continuing? But then I just
100%, mate. I'd be well disappointed. Yeah, stopped.
I've got no. I think it's just one of those moments where you think, when you're tired. I mean, you know, podcasting is a full time job.
Well, the thing is, sometimes I hear you say, "Oh, I've just because it's." I mean, I find it difficult, and it's my full time job.
Yeah.
And you've got like a mix. Like sometimes I hear listening, you're like, "Oh, it's midnight. I've got in." Just got in from a call out and now I'm recording. I was like, wow, man, that's like,
yeah,
you've got to be enthusiastic to still be able to do that. So I think that's good.
Well, it's that whole thing we've spoke about with before, continuity or consistency. Yeah. It's got to come out on a Monday night.
Yeah.
I think I did one this year that didn't come out on a Monday night where I was ill, mm-hmm. and I had a listener ask them where it was, which I'm really grateful for, actually, because it proves people expect it, proves people want to hear it.
So I had this conversation with someone the other day and they said, oh, I couldn't get one out. And I said, look, I'll be honest with you, listeners don't care that you're ill. They want their bit of audio. They want to hear what you've been up to.
Yeah.
And like I say, it's good to hear.
Yeah.
Also, sometimes that can be a bit of pressure, can't it?
It is. I mean, now I've adjusted how I've recorded them. When I'm recording it a bit as I go along, it's a lot easier to do and edit. And I can, if I am ill on a Monday, I've still got it there.
Yeah, that's true.
Take long to put together.
Again, I like that side of it that you brought in, because again, it makes you feel like you're here.
Yeah,
I already feel like I've been here before, mate.
Yeah, yeah.
I do a lot of it before.
Yeah, yeah. And getting out of the studio more, it's working. So yeah, no, that's going to continue.
Cool, man. And merch.
Yeah. And merch. Yeah, we've been talking about merchandise. Again, if listeners are interested, I have a supplier, and I've been
limited edition.
I could do t-shirts and mugs. If anybody wants one, let me know and I'll pot them out.
What if I want a signed one?
Oh, I can do that. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'll do one signed especially for you then.
No, I want me to sign your merch. I didn't mean you.
Signature. Oh, fair enough. I wouldn't want my signature either, to be honest.
Oh, well, congratulations. I've got 100 episodes coming up in March and I feel like 200 episodes seems a long way off and I just think... Congratulations, man, for going.
You will get there. I've got a lot of... I'm a big supporter of your podcast, and as you know. I feel they're making gardening fun.
Yeah.
I mean, which is what you're all about anyway. But you will get to 200 episodes.
Yeah.
I've got no qualms about
that. Well, like I say, I know the hard work goes into it, so big congratulations, 200.
Congratulations to you. Keep up the good work as well.
Thanks, man.
You're welcome.
Are we going to end it here, are we?
Yeah, I think we will. That's
quite wrap it up. We've talked a lot.
Yeah, well, I think... This will be the end of a show, actually. I think I'm probably not going to do much in the diary on this week. So at the end of the show, I'd like to wish everyone a very happy Christmas. We've got to go off and do some deliveries now.
Yeah.
Christmas Eve.
Oh, yeah.
Christmas Eve.
Ho, ho, ho. It's not getting me working.
So, no, everyone, every listener, very happy Christmas. I hope you enjoy yourselves. I hope you enjoy yourselves, Lee, and spend time with your family. Thank you very much for listening and take care.
Ho, ho, ho.